It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe Thanksgiving has come and gone. I know I saw many people at different road races over this past weekend, starting with the race at Delta Dental Stadium on Thursday. There were thousands of people there, and there was a couple other races that I managed to eke into. I want to give a big shout-out to my guest from my last week's show, James Peterson, who is the sales and marketing director of Seacoast United Sports Club, and James did a great job of explaining that Seacoast United is way, way, way more than a soccer club. It's a very holistic approach to a lot of different things, you know, mental health. They do several sports now, and it was a very entertaining and educational segment with James. Also, last weekend was the Granite State Baseball Dinner, and we're well into the seven figures over the years of raising money for Chad, as well as the Fisher Cats Foundation, which raises funds for scholarships, which is applicable to my next guest. The 27th and 28th is when this show runs. The 27th happens to be my birthday, and there was a road race earlier in the morning, and they surprised me with some cupcakes. But, of course, I brush and floss later. But this weekend's guest is going to be talking about his new role, and it's Dr. Mark Rubenstein, who is the new chancellor of the community college system. And I've known Mark for several years in sort of the educational circles that we travel in. Mark, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're extremely busy, but I thought it was important to talk about your new role. But thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you for having me over for your birthday, Tom. I appreciate it.
And we won't get into how many years this has been. But in any event, so tell us about your background in general, and how I think I always get the comment from the listening audience. They really kind of, when they meet through the radio, someone of esteem. Like, what was the journey, Mark, that you took to get to where you are now as a chancellor of a pretty robust community college system?
30 years in public higher education, but really almost as an accidental student. I grew up in a household that valued education and also happened to value schooling, and I was completely on board with the education part of it, maybe a less attuned to the schooling part until much later in my career. But I was a liberal arts undergraduate, enjoyed reading, and really thought that was going to be the extent of the formal education that I would pursue. Happened to find education, came to realize that for a lot of people, it can't be taken for granted, the avenue of opportunity that it creates, and humbled to realize that I had taken it for granted for much of my early life, but over time grew into a passion and eventually a career. So spent some time at Penn State and later the University of South Florida, and came to the University of New Hampshire about 23 years ago. Series of opportunities, responsibilities, but continuing to evolve an understanding of why I was in public higher education, that's brought me now to the community college system of New Hampshire.
Awesome. So what I know you've done a great job of what I would call exploration and listening tours, and I was humbly on one of those, and it was just great the fact that you're reaching out to all the different players as well as sort of the people on the street. So as your new role of chancellor, once you complete that exploration and fact-finding, what do you think your priorities will be, both for the short-term as well as the long-term?
Well, one of the things that I've learned is that you don't turn off the learning. It really is a lifelong process. And so at this point, I'm trying to balance the listening and learning with an understanding of the urgency. The mission of the community college system has two components that are integrated. One is the pathway of opportunity for individual students, and community colleges have always been, throughout their history, that avenue of opportunity for people who often didn't have as much access to four-year institutions more expensive institutions often and more selective. The other part of our mission is workforce, specifically to make sure that the opportunities we're creating for students align with the opportunities that serve the state of New Hampshire and its communities. And so right now, I recognize and we collectively feel the urgency to move forward on both of those. The pandemic, if it revealed anything in this country beyond the healthcare impact, it really has separated out the world into two halves, if you will, at least in higher education. Graduate enrollment has grown during the pandemic, but community college enrollments have been the most adversely affected, primarily because the lives of the students served by community colleges are often the most vulnerable. So there's an urgency in that regard, but there's also a challenge that the state had pre-pandemic that's only become worse, which is the need for talent throughout the state. So the challenge that we face, the urgency we feel, is to ensure that we're creating those avenues of opportunity for students, those pathways to bring them into the workforce and keep them in the workforce in ways that support themselves and their families, the communities, and the state of New Hampshire.
That's great. So the intersection of the education with the workforce, and specifically, I know for Northeast Delta Dental, and you'll be part of this, you know, there is plenty of people going to the dentist, which is a great thing. Dentists are plenty busy, which is another good thing. I thought maybe during the pandemic that once we got dentists reopened again, which was approximately, May 19th or so in New Hampshire, that maybe people wouldn't flock back to the dentist, you know, sort of being a nervous because obviously the transmission of COVID, but everybody's been flocking back. But one of the challenges that my dentist friends and colleagues say is there's a huge shortage of hygienists as well as dental assistants. And I know I was at a recent statewide chamber meeting, and basically every sector head, we went around the table, and, you know, whether it was healthcare, whether it was a factory, you know, whether it was Dunkin's, everybody, you know, had a shortage of workers. So maybe comment a little bit, not necessarily specifically as it relates to hygienists, but just kind of that overall, how you plan to kind of connect students with the jobs that exist if you have the right credentials.
Well, part of this, and just for a little bit of background, you certainly know my predecessor in this role, Dr. Ross Gattell, and one of the things that Dr. Gattell often spoke about was the counter-cyclical nature of community college enrollment. When the economy was thriving, community college enrollments would falter. When the economy faltered, community college enrollment typically burgeoned. And the challenge with that is that it creates, he described as counter-cyclical. The challenge that creates is that it puts our interests at odds with those of business, of employers, but it puts students in the middle, having to choose between whether to pursue education, whether to pursue careers. And one of the objectives that I have is to see if we can change that narrative about a counter-cyclical relationship and do a better job of ensuring that our interests, business interests, education interests, and particularly student interests are all aligned, all moving in the same direction so that everyone can thrive together. Part of what that means is helping people who, instead of having to choose one or the other, helping people grow into roles that they may be sort of at the doorstep. Can we help people while they're working to grow into progressively more responsible roles? So finding people who have the interests, have the aptitude, providing education in formats that are accessible to get them into the workforce more quickly, and again, not at odds with employment, but in fact complementary to employment. Some of this is going to require partnership throughout the state. As you mentioned, every sector of the economy is facing the same challenges for workforce, and to the extent that we're competing with one another as employers, we've got to find some way to bring more talent off of the bench, if you will, and into the workforce. So part of this is finding ways to motivate, encourage, and show and make more visible the pathways into the labor market.
Well put, and as you know, one of the overarching goals in the New Hampshire community is a mantra called 65 by 25, which for the listening audience meant that by the year 2025, which is only 3 or 4 years away, that 65% of the adult population would either have credentials or the degree necessary to obtain one of these jobs, you know, that are opening. And of course, as you point out, it's going to take all efforts. We have some efforts going down to eighth grade through high school, and then as you describe, we need to be complementary with businesses who really want people to come and ready. And so whether they have a formal 4-year degree or formal 2-year degree or a certification, you know, that they know how to use Outlook. I mean, that's what employers are looking for. So it's really great to hear this. And one of the things, too, that people may not realize, and maybe you could start this conversation and then we'll break for a commercial, is that I like NHTI, the local community college here's mantra, you know, start here, go anywhere, that if you start at a community college, you may get the credential, you may go to work, you may go to the service, you may go on to a 4-year degree, you may get a job. But if you do decide you would like to further your education, that with the community college system, with these, and I don't want to use too much inside baseball, but with these articulation agreements, you can go on and get the same 4-year degree. And since you mentioned Dr. Gattell, and since he is now the president of Bryant College, my son went there. And a few years ago, I was speaking at the NHTI graduation, and the student speaker that was sitting next to me as we were waiting for the other speakers mentioned that he was going to go to Bryant College. And I said, that's interesting, because my son's already there. And fast forward 2 years, and later, I saw him again at Bryant College. He got the exact same degree as my son and probably a couple $100,000 less. So there's also an economic component, wouldn't you agree?
Well, there absolutely is. And perhaps the next strategy we should employ for increasing enrollment in the community colleges is working on financial literacy across the state, because it's hard to argue with the value proposition, particularly because of the work that's been done. The articulation agreements that you described really represent roadmaps that if you take these courses through the community college system, these are how they will apply to degree programs at 4-year institutions. And to the extent that a lot of work has gone into building those pathways so that they work well for students, the opportunity to make significant savings for the cost of a 4-year degree by leveraging the affordability of a 2-year degree, and even further by leveraging Running Start in the high schools, really gives students and families a great opportunity to address the high cost of higher education.
Welcome back to the second half of Northeast Delta Dental Radio with your host, Tom Raffio.
This weekend, the 27th and 28th, and this weekend with me is Dr. Mark Rubenstein, who is the chancellor of the community college system. And we were talking about the economic model that makes the community college system so cost effective. And beyond that, if your son or daughter goes, or you yourself go to the community college, you're getting one heck of an education, knowing a lot of the people that teach at a few of the community colleges, as well as having interviewed just about every president of our several community colleges in New Hampshire. It's pretty amazing, I think, the education that you'll receive at a community college, Mark. Don't you agree?
I agree completely. I've had the opportunity, certainly over the time that I was at UNH and for the 6.5 years that I was at Grand State College, the chance to learn, you know, to work with colleagues in the community college system, and more recently in my new role, the chance to spend more time with those folks, have a great appreciation for the commitment they have to teaching, but also the innovation in practice as educators. So great education and highly affordable.
So true. And the other thing that I like about the community college system, there's a common thread. First of all, I just want to congratulate you. Each of the presidents are pretty amazing. And I knew a lot of them before, but having spent 24 minutes with them during interviews, it was pretty amazing the way each described sort of the niche, you know, whether it's, you know, White Mountains, whether it's, you know, NHTI, each niche that a community college had and how they tailor it to that particular community. But also they have the broad view and connect it all together. So I think it's important. Why don't you just spend a couple of minutes describing how the community college system works, because obviously about a year or so ago, it kind of made the news, whether it was, an efficient system or not. And I'm a big believer in it, so you don't have to convince me on that. But why don't you kind of describe for the listening audience how the common thread of the community colleges, but also how they work together?
Well, the common thread in part is the commitment to students and to the communities that each of them serves. The primary and unique aspect of the model is that these colleges are embedded in different regions of the state and are intended to serve the unique needs of the state in each of those regions. So building relationships and partnerships and programs around industry or the economic activity of those communities is what makes them unique for each part of the state. But the commitment to students and building core programs, the programs that allow students to transfer to four-year institutions, that's one of the things that builds commonality among them. But as a system, one of the benefits of working collaboratively as a system, I can give you an illustration that I think is probably helpful to describing the way the system works, but also describing one of the ways that I think we can be helpful to the state. A critical need that the state has, and you know as well as anybody, is health care. And a particular role in health care that's been under a great deal of pressure has been for registered nurses. And part of that has been compounded by the gap in LPNs, licensed practical nurses. So a couple of years ago, the legislature expressed a strong interest in having the community college system bring back an LPN program. My colleague, Alfred Williams, president of River Valley, and his faculty, Eileen Glover, professor of nursing, brought back an LPN program for River Valley. They now have that program available not only in Keene and Claremont, it will be available in Laconia and in probably Berlin by early next year. We're working on making that program in the coming year available in Nashua and Manchester. The ability to create a program at one college but make it available to three or four or five other sister institutions in the system is a highly efficient, cost-effective strategy for responding quickly to an acute need in the state's healthcare workforce. It's a great model for other programs that we have that we can make more widely available where the demand is there, but not with the risk that's typically created or the expense or the delay of creating a new program as if from the start. So part of the benefit of being a system, the need to be efficient, to try and keep it as affordable as we can for students, to be respectful of the fact that the funds that we have, they're either state money, they're student money, they're philanthropic money that comes to us from donors who invest in the good work that's being done, but we've got to be good stewards. So the ability to work collaboratively is part of the efficiency that I think returns value for those investments.
Well said, and it is interesting how quickly you can, for lack of a better term, fix the invisible hand, in terms of the LPN. I know that 15 years ago there was a shortage of hygienists, and we worked quickly with the local community college here to expand the dental hygiene class, and within 2 years there were more than enough hygienists, and now we're sort of back into that same mode. So that model that you described, you'll be a big part of this, along with NHTI and a whole other host of others trying to deal with the shortage that we right now have in dental workforce, which is not necessarily dentists. There's plenty of dentists between Nashua and Concord, although there are parts of New Hampshire where North Country, et cetera, where there's lack of oral surgeons. But in general, from Nashua to Concord, there are plenty of dentists, but there are not enough at this point hygienists and dental assistants, some of whom, retired during the pandemic, and others who haven't come back because there may be an early learning daycare center challenge, which, of course, you know as well as I do, that's another shortage area, which is what I call the workforce for the workforce. I mean, there are some people that want to come back to work, but if you can't get your child into a daycare center, you can't go back to work, or at least most people can't.
Completely agree with that. And one of the things that you touched on with the earlier experience with dental assistants, dental hygienists, these things sometimes cycle. And one of the opportunities that we want to make sure that we're fully addressing is the fact that, life changes, whether for industry or for individuals. So making sure that this education isn't just a path to a single destination, but it's really part of a building block, stackable credentials, I'm sure you're familiar with. The idea that a student who completes a program and starts a career doesn't necessarily stay in that career, but can use that as a foundation for growth. The LPN program, going back to that for a moment, is a great career opportunity, but it's also a pathway into an RN program. So the opportunity to grow through both education and experience in the workforce, that's one of the things that we hope that our mission allows for, is that people can navigate the changes that happen in their own lives or in the communities or the world around them as industries change, as technology changes, life changes.
So the community college system, economics, it's economical. As you said, you have the stackable concept. It's nimble, can work with businesses. So what's the challenge? I mean, why aren't more people going and taking advantage of this, the great teaching, the great opportunities, or are we getting the enrollment that you would like?
Well, I'll go back to what I said earlier about Dr. Cattell's reference to the counter-cyclical nature of enrollment. Across the country, community college enrollments last peaked in 2011 as the recovery began from the last Great Recession. You normally think about college and you normally think about high school graduates going to college, and that's certainly part of our mission. It represents a little bit less than a quarter of the students who enroll with us. But the majority of our students are working adults, and to the extent that their lives, whether it's employment, whether it's childcare, whether it's community responsibilities, service responsibilities, military service, all of those things become alternatives for the time and the energy that people have to put into education. So my interest is finding ways, and our collective interest, again, find ways to better align the needs of working adults with the opportunities for education. One way to think about that is that all of those things that I described earlier are ways in which people learn. Now, not all of it's college-level learning, and not all of it is readily assessed, but to the extent that we can help students capture credit, earn college credit for experiential learning that occurs outside of our classroom, that lessens the time to degree, that lessens the cost of a degree and helps them make progress more efficiently in line with their lives and with their work. All of those things are really positive opportunities. So that's part of the objective as well, is figuring out better ways to align learning, regardless of where it occurs, with the needs that students have so that they don't have to repeat that learning, so they don't have to pay for that learning, so that it actually makes for better alignment between workforce requirements and the education that students bring with them.
Boy, I can't think of a better leader for the community college system with all of your background. You've been in other states. You know what a jewel of a system, you know, that we have here in New Hampshire and how we really want to make a good thing even better. And I loved how you've explained things and have explored during your first, several new months. So in about 30 seconds, has anything surprised you as you've done your various interviews?
Well, in large part, how lean the organization is. But I'll use the other 22 seconds to tell you that leadership throughout the community college system is, in fact, leadership throughout the community college system. I'm working with a team of leaders across the colleges, administrative, academic, in the system office as well, who are really sharing this commitment. I'm learning every day, and I think the state of New Hampshire, the citizens, and certainly our students are the beneficiaries of that.
Absolutely. You've got a great set of leaders who are leading the community colleges, but as you say, you also have a great leadership team in each one of those institutions. So, Dr. Mark Rubenstein, thank you for joining me this weekend. I hope to see you at our Zoom regarding the dental workforce soon. Thanks for your leadership, and thanks for being a stalwart believer in New Hampshire. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Tom, and perhaps next year I can come back for your 29th birthday.
that would be great.
Thank you for listening to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Be sure to tune in next time.